We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, and we are here to break down all things women's hoops. But we're in the WNBA season right now, Gabe, and the Mystics right now are sitting right at the top in all the power rankings at number one with a 4-1 record.
Yeah. You know who else is sitting up there at 4-1?
Yeah.
The Atlanta Dream. And Friday's matchup between these two teams will be between the best teams in the WNBA.
Love it.
I'm not sure we could have seen that happening. And we got to get into, obviously, both those teams. And we'll talk about the Connecticut Sun. Got to talk about, obviously, it's in the thumbnail, which you probably clicked on if you're on our YouTube channel, which we hope you're subscribed to, because we're getting really close to 1,000 subscribers. And it's in the thumbnail because I wanted you to click on it, because we're going to talk about Scottie Diggins-Smith and Diana Taurasi yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Because I love that stuff, obviously, as a Miami Heat fan. I think that's amazing. Good stuff. And with the Heat in the semifinals, I will have a discussion about them at some point, obviously. So subscribe. Make sure you're following us. Twitter names. I think I'm going to put the Twitter names now that we have this new little background. If you're on YouTube, it's just going to be under us the entire time. So just like right there.
Love it.
Right there. But yeah, Christy. So, you know, anything happening before we get into WNBA talk? Anything you want to update us on?
Hey, I just want to, you know, update you on Natasha Cloud being back, and she's a shooter. You on that. And I'm going to update you on the fact that the Mystics are totally ready to make another run for a championship. And I don't care if people say, oh, it's only 5 games in. Oh my gosh, you can't say that's too early. What about it? Like, they're showing themselves to be experienced, but also with Shakira Austin having that huge game with 20 points, shooting 9 of 10 from the floor. She just went completely crazy. But when you have players who can come off the bench and do that, I mean, the bench was the story. So yeah. The depth of the Mystics team, I think right now, is why they're in the number one spot.
Well, and they get deeper too. They just got Elizabeth Williams back, and she's expected to play in that game against Atlanta. And I'm, you know, so to a certain extent, obviously this is good. Getting more good players on the team, hot take, is a good thing.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to kind of change the dynamics here. Really? Because, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, it's a good problem to have when you have, you know, three good centers that you want to play all at the same time. I think, you know, Chicago has this with Azrae Stevens, Candace Parker, Emma Meisman. All three of those players can play center and have played center, and they've all played the four, but like they have one of them at the three sometimes. So it's like, how do the Mystics you know, work that dynamic, how they make sure everyone gets minutes? I think Mike Thibodeau talked a little bit about this today. Just like, it's a good problem to have, and they're gonna have to figure it out. But I am just a little, I'm wondering how Shakira Austin is going to react to not having all of those minutes that she had in those games. And as a young player, this is why I wanted your perspective on, like, how does that, how do you keep yourself mentally good in that state? This is probably the first time she's going to be in that place.
Right. But I think what she's done with the minutes that she has earned early on, whether it was when Elena Deledon didn't travel to Minnesota, or in this game when Myesha Hines-Allen went out with the thigh bruise and didn't come back in, and now she's been handed extra minutes, she hasn't hurt the team. She's helped the team immensely. Yeah. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to stay ready. So you don't have to get ready is one of my favorite quotes. And Natalia, that's my girl, Isaac's, that's her quote. I took from her, but she took it from Dawn Staley because she played for her at Temple. Anyway, I digress. But with that, I mean, she's been able to walk right in to this situation and learn during games. I mean, yes, they're teaching and learning and practices, but these games are coming very rapidly. So a lot of the experience is going to come during game minutes. And I think Shakira Austin has shown and proved that. And then Kennedy Burke, for that matter, came in and was here for 2 days, 2 or 3 days, and played and had 10 points in their last game against Dallas. So I think they study the game. I know Kennedy Burke, after that Dallas win in Dallas the other day, she said, hey, they've been sending me things. You know, I've been studying the playbook. But honestly, you know, the adrenaline drives you too. You know, when you have that opportunity right in front of you to play in the WNBA, you're going to go all out. And that's what we've seen from every single player who stepped foot on the floor for the Mystics this year, because of whatever reason, Cloud being out, and then Rui steps right in and she scores the ball, like Mike Thibault said he wanted to see from her. So I just think that everyone's ready. They understand what their roles are and they're deep. And I want to see what Elizabeth Williams looks like, but I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a disjointed situation. I think it's going to be very seamless, because she's been in the league. It's not like she's brand new. I think she's going to jump right in, but it will be a little bit of an extra dynamic with Elizabeth Williams playing against her old team in Atlanta.
No, I want to get back to Kennedy Burke. I just want to I think Elizabeth Williams won the Turkish Cup like 2 days ago, right? That
she
was
did.
Like two she days did. Ago, and she'll be playing on Friday. I'm not sure how many minutes she's going to be playing, but she's going to be playing on Friday. Like one of those whirlwind things that only happens in the WNBA. And we saw, you know, it sometimes is, hey, I'm so tired from just traveling across the world to get here that I'm not as effective, but also it could be, hey, I've been playing my top level basketball. I've been in the best basketball I've been playing all season right now. So you got a situation like Kayla McBride. She came in and made a huge difference for Minnesota. So I'm interested to see how that works out. I think to your point, the depth of the Mystics allows them to make a decision. It's like, okay, if Elizabeth looks tired, hey, you only have to play like 15 minutes tonight to get warmed up, and then we'll figure it out throughout the rest of the season, because we have Shakira. I think that optionality, like you're mentioning, does make them different. I think it does put them into that, you know, championship contender category right now. Because the biggest question with them is always, can they stay healthy? Mm-hmm. Well, they've kind of proven that they can get over some of the minor health concerns. Obviously, if someone goes down for the season, that's a different story. But for now, they're getting over small injuries. I mean, Myesha Hines-Allen went down against Dallas and they were seamless. I think Kennedy Burke, like you mentioned, stepped right in and was just ready and knew the defense, knew what she had to do, knew how to fill the lanes on the fast breaks. And I think she was really helpful. Unfortunately, she did bump Katie Benson off the team, who is a courtside favorite, but Katie's contributions are another part of this, that depth that they've built. So I'm with you. I think they're right there. I still want to see a little bit more than five games. Because I think, you know, they have a big test coming up against Chicago on Sunday. They have a game at Connecticut. Those two teams are probably the two teams that I think you got to knock off. But I'm with you. I think they're there. I do want to see them be healthy, because they're, you know, Mike Thibault also mentioned today, like, there's gonna be games where they're gonna hold out Alicia Clark and Elena Deledon just for rest.
Right. Yeah, no question. And you know, when you're looking at this Mystics team, they already had a great win over Las Vegas. And yes, they did lose to Dallas, but then a couple days later they turn right back around and take that back and win it. So I just think they have the character, and they didn't have Cloud the first time they lost to Dallas. And I think she did a fantastic job defensively, especially on Enrique Gumbawale on the road in Dallas. And I think she made a world of difference offensively as well, in terms of how the team flows and moves. So, yeah, with everyone healthy and on the floor. It's a really dangerous team and a really deep team. And Mike Tebow already said if he could keep Katie Benson on the roster, he would want to make that a permanent spot. So I'm sure Katie Benson right now, as we're speaking, is somewhere in the gym getting herself some shots up and in and staying ready, you know. So if that call comes back to her to get back, she can pop right back in. And I'm sure she's keeping in lockstep with what they're doing schematically, even with Elizabeth Williams joining the team as well. But Kennedy Burke said, hey, it's just playing basketball. And like you said about being in shape and being in good condition, that's half the battle, mm-hmm. right? When you're coming into a new environment. But you said filling the lanes and getting to the offensive glass, those are things that are given, right? So that's not anything that coach has to draw on the board for you. Like, you're going to fill the lanes just naturally. She was a great player at UCLA. So we understand that they know the game. So some of the things you may not be very clear with, but the bare bones and the basics and the fundamentals, you're going to come right in and fly with that. And that's what the Mystics have been able to do with each new piece that joins the team.
Yeah, no, I think they're all smart and not, you know, this is not, we're not quite like, it's not intelligence, we're talking basketball smart, right? It's like, can we just run? Can we just say, hey, you know, point, and then, hey, we're going to run the stagger. We're going to run the twist. We're going to run the twirl. Like, not having to communicate that or having your coach have to call those plays is huge. And I think it really creates that flow that this team is relying on. And I think it really throws off teams when they're just like, hey, we're going to run this. Okay. We're going to throw a different look and it's not coming from the sidelines. I think it's something Natasha Cloud always talks about. It's like, we don't want the play calls. Just let us work and run. And I think that is a huge part of it, is having players who understand what to do and are smart. And I think all of the players on this team really fit into that category. I think Shakira was the one that I thought would have a bigger adjustment period just because she didn't really do that in college. And now she's come in and is just able to fit in perfectly, especially on the defensive end.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, she had like the block of the year so far in my mind. I mean, just insane with the timing and no body contact, just got all ball way up top in the upper room. Like, come on. It was phenomenal defensive play. But my thing with this Mystics team is, like you said, I mean, they do want free play. And as a coach, if you say free play, you have two people who can do that well sometimes, right? And you have three people standing around like, where do I go? You know, and that messes up the flow. But that's not the case with this team, right? I mean, they understand that they can play off of one another, make good reads without a play call, and play the game, right? You go play pickup, you're not calling sets out. You're not calling twists and horns and all this other stuff. You're playing ball. And I think a lot of times this Mystics team can be very unpredictable in that way to opponents. Because when you're looking at all the play calls, a lot of the teams run the same things, right? And make the same reads off that stuff. But if you say, hey, go make a play. All five of you make a play and get together, you know, after a free throw or something like that, or get together walking out of a timeout saying, hey, right here, I'm going to get you this pin down, or right here, let's get a double stagger weak side and bring somebody off of it. And let's go to work. So it's more about understanding spacing and the game. And it's murderous for, you know, your opponents, because they're watching you like, what was that play? It was like, it was a basketball play, period. Not a play call. They're just playing. And that makes it tough.
Well, they throw so many looks at you on tape that like your coaches are telling you, hey, look out for this. And they're just like, okay, we're going to run something else out of it because it's not a play call. Yep. It's just something we're doing. I think they do that really well. I think if, you know, they kind of have that kind of Golden State-y vibe to them. Yep. That Golden State runs like a million different things.
It's definitely like that. Yep.
Right. Same idea. I think they're doing it really well, and we'll see. I mean, I do want to say it is five games, but it looks really good. And I think this isn't like a team that's like, oh, shocking that they're 4-1. Like, no, they're really good. They just need to stay healthy. Right. And when they stay healthy, they're going to be near the top.
Yeah.
I do want to move over to the team that it is very surprising that they are 4-1 because the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah.
Just out of the gates, looking amazing under a new coach, Denisha Wright, has them flying. I mean, they are second in the league for pace. The Fever are first, but Atlanta at the moment is the seventh fastest team in league history right now. So she's just, you know, taking the brakes off this team, just letting them fly. And can I get an ISO possession really quick on Ryan Howard? Can I get an ISO?
I mean, she is phenomenal. Player of the month in the East.
Player of the month in the East. I just want to rattle off some stats that I saw.
Yeah, rattle off.
So she's leading the league in points. 20.4 points per game.
Come on.
Insane. Insane. She joins a list of players who have had 100 points, who racked up 100 points in their first five games of their career. This is from Chantel Jennings on Twitter.
Okay.
What's that? Here's the list.
What's the list? That's
Simone Augustus.
Oh, boy.
Cappy Pondexter, Nikki McCray, Tamika Catchings, Ruthie Bolton.
Oh, boy.
Asia Wilson.
Oh, wow. Shout out Ruthie Bolton. Go ahead, girl. Sacramento.
You know, hey, I'm pretty sure all of those players are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Asia's obviously still playing. I don't think there's a question she's going to be in the Hall.
She'll be in there.
I'm pretty sure all of those players are in the Hall of Fame, and Ryan Howard just joined that list. She's shooting 45.9% from deep on 7.4 attempts per game. Most attempts in the league, by the way, 50% of her points are coming from there. And then that she doesn't have like the rookie problems of like, she doesn't have a high turnover rate. She's moving the ball. The ball's flowing. It's not like she's like having to hold on to it or whatever. It's just like, she's just playing basketball and it's looking so, so incredible. I mean, what have you seen from her? Just like incredible start.
Just poise. I mean, as a rookie to come in and really put your stamp on the game, the way that she has, it's been phenomenal. And it's so impressive. But when you're talking about a young player like that, I mean, she's been waiting for this moment to happen. So it's like she's been shot out of a cannon and she's flying around, but she's not flying around out of control, right? She's flying around with composure, with discernment, you know, with good choices, which is why she's not turning the ball over like that. But she's patient and she knows where to pick and choose her spots. And she's just been phenomenally exciting to watch. And I mean, just to think she's a rookie. I mean, another rookie is Naz Hillman. She had a big game in their last game as well off the bench. I mean, she's been good. So it's like, you're talking about pace and the Fever being up at the top with pace and this Atlanta team being up at the top with pace. I mean, those are two of kind of the younger teams in the league. So yeah, they're going to be flying around, but can you fly around with composure and with efficiency? And that's what Atlanta has done to get to their 4-1 record.
Yeah. And obviously two of those games were against the Fever. And the Fever have been better than I suggested, but they haven't had a really good win yet. I think we'll see on Friday what happens when they play the Mystics. We've seen the Mystics kind of eat some rookies alive. Sabrina was not a rookie last year. She was functionally a rookie though. And,
Only played two games.
And Natasha Cloud and Ariel Atkins, took it personally. So we'll see. we may see a very, motivated Mystics team to stop Ryan Howard. And there, you know, there are some areas for like concern. Obviously I don't think she's going to shoot 45%. 46% on 7 threes a game. I don't know, maybe she does, but I think that'll come down to earth a little bit. Her 2-point field goals have been difficult attempts so far. She only shooting 41% from inside the arc. There's a really good article by Nikias Duncan in the Basketball News talking about, you know, how great she is, not only and how composed she is. Like, she got smacked in the mouth and then still like ended up getting a rebound, calling an own timeout, which is incredible. And then, you know, but she still has like, she has to work on her handle a little bit. She has to work on the screen navigation, but man, what an amazing start. And like you mentioned, right? Like, this is just a flat out good team.
Yeah.
With, you know, Naz Hillman's looking nice. Christy Wallace looking really solid, bringing great energy. You have Nia Coffey doing what she does on the defensive end, not quite there on the offensive end still, but defensive end's been good. And I think Erica Wheeler's doing a really good job running the offense. Plus Tiffany Hayes has yet to play for this team. I'm not sure if she's playing on Friday. I haven't heard yet. But
yeah, I have not heard that yet either. But wow, when you add Tiffany Hayes to that mix, I mean, they're already explosive. And Tanisha Wright, just a phenomenal job out of the gates with her new team. And you'd love to see that too, just for the coach to come in and have that confidence that not only do you want this executed, but the team is actually executing what they're capable of early on for a young team. You know, that's very encouraging for her as a coach, I'm sure.
No, I think it's super encouraging. I think they just, you know, I saw this team, I saw the roster. I was like, this roster makes sense. If Ryan Howard's as good as, you know, we think she is,
yeah,
then this makes sense. And I think it's a really good team. And, you know, I think they will go up and down as the year goes on, because that's mm-hmm. the way it works.
Yeah.
And they're not the most talented team, but this is definitely a team I think can make the playoffs. And I think we are going to learn a lot about them on Friday. Now,
right.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Do you think the Mystics regret trading the number one pick?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, you can't account for, you know, Kristen Williams getting injured on the second day of training camp. Right. And wow. What if they had her too? Right. I think they did it the right way. And I'm not just saying that because we're here in DC, you know, no, I'm, you know, Ryan Howard's where she's supposed to be. And that's no disrespect or shade or whatever, however you guys are hearing that. That's not meant to be in a negative tone. But I think that the Mystics made a great choice. I mean, they needed depth on the interior. They needed some size and they needed Shakira Austin. Yeah. And what she has proven, as we already said, I mean, she's ready for this moment. She's going to work for it. I mean, she wears zero on her jersey for a reason. No one believed in her, you know? So now she's saying, I believe in me. So now you're going to have to believe in me too. So she's just playing with a strong sense of confidence. And I mean, you can't teach that part. So she's been tough. So I just think they went for what they needed. Right. And sometimes that's the beauty and the curse of the draft is, you know, you don't want to water down players who are capable players or mm-hmm. great players, you know, by saying, well, we're not going to take you first. No, it's not that you're not good. It's just, you're not a good fit for what we need today. And I think when you look at it that way, I think the Mystics made the right choice. And again, you can't factor in injuries on the second day of training camp with Williams, you know, Kristen Williams going down. So, I'm going to sit with that being 100% correct, that move, even though it was shocking when we found out about it live here courtside. But I think it was a great move, and they're seeing the fruits of that decision right now with Shakira Austin playing so well.
No, I don't know if it's the right move yet. I don't think like, that's the thing. We're not going to know if it's the right move.
Okay.
Not at the end of this year, not at the end of next year, but like 5 years down the road, right? Like that's what happens with the draft. We don't know what's going to happen, especially because, I mean, I have not been that impressed with the Los Angeles Sparks, and the Mystics have the Sparks first round pick next year. So if they fall out of the playoffs, that's the added benefit here. Is that if they can get that Sparks pick next year, actually they have a pick swap, so they won't have two first round picks. Right. They'll just have one, but like they could have the Sparks pick. I have not been that impressed with the Sparks. So I think that's a part of it to add in. But I also think the other part is, like you're saying, like team need matters more when you're trying to win now. Like
that part.
When you're trying to win now, you need to think about the team you have, because look, for better or for worse, they kind of fell into that number one pick and they want to maximize the years that they have with the Landaldon. And I think bringing mm-hmm. in a center was a big part of that. And not just Elizabeth Williams. You know, they needed some other center depth because Williams wasn't going to be there early, or is it going to be injuries, or when Elena needs to rest, what are we going to do? We can't fall back in those places because we're trying to win the championship this season. And Shakira Austin looks great. You know, she's not leading the league in points, but I don't know. Maybe if you switch spots, right? Maybe Shakira Austin is leading the league in points because she's getting all the touches that Ryan Howard's getting in Atlanta, that a team that's building right now, even though they are on top of the league, and they may be switching that.
Yeah.
They may be flipping to, hey, we want to win now too, quicker than they expected.
Right.
But I'm with you. At first blush, you're like, you know, this woman is leading the league in points. She is doing something that only Hall of Famers have ever done in the beginning of their career. But I think Ryan Howard on the Mystics is playing a very different role.
Sure. Exactly.
Very different role. So it's not going to be the same explosion out of the gate. And Shakira Austin has looked really good. And, you know, just top three picks. I think Melissa Smith has been really good too. So it's like, this was a really good draft this year. I have to do a rookie roundup at some point because they're really blowing it out of the water. I just thought that was interesting. I've been thinking about that, whether the Mystics regret it or not. So I don't think so. I'm with you.
I don't think so. And I think, you know, for the players too, I think they just want to play and they right. want to be in the league and they want to be utilized to the maximum point of their skill set, right? They don't want to have to, you know, not improve, the, you know, or get time on the floor. And Shakira Austin has gotten more time probably than she expected, to be honest, early on. But I think it's really been a bonus for her. But I mean, when you go to a team, you want to make sure, and whether it's, you know, college or pro, you want to make sure that you fit in the system and with the philosophy of the team. And I think both of those players fit where they are. That's why I don't think they're regrets either way, you know, for either team doing that.
I'm trying to see if we have a way to look up the rookies in this, in our thing. I don't think so. I want to see which rookies are. I want to see which rookies are leading.
Rookie stats. There's a rookie stats.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up as we talk. I just want to see which rookies are like leading the league in minutes.
Oh, that would be interesting to know. It's probably Ryan Howard.
I'm sure it's Ryan Howard first, and then it's it's probably Shakira Austin though. That's my thinking is like, I think it might be Shakira Austin. Actually, I can do this right here on WNBA stats. Let's see.
Yeah, that's up there.
Nelissa Smith.
Oh wow.
Wow. I always forget.
Only by a little bit though. It can't be by a ton.
By a minute. It's by less than a minute. Per game.
I'm good. With that.
It goes Smith, Howard, and then it goes Christy Wallace and Rebecca Gardner. Because
Gardner is so fast. Like, I've been impressed with her, like, amazingly
right into the exact niche that they needed her to fit in. And way to go, James Wade, for sticking that out. Because it took some gumption, right, to sit there and say, hey, we're bringing in this 30-year-old rookie who has not played in the league and she is not going to be in training camp. And we're just going to, I know she's going to fit into what we're doing. Right. And it works immediately.
Yeah. Great piece. Yeah. Just phenomenal. And her speed, I think, is something that, you know, you didn't count on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to be that effective, and she's been killing it. So that's fun.
And so Christy Wallace was picked in the 2018 draft. So it's like another player who's coming in with a little bit more experience. And I think, you know, and Ruri's on this list too, as a technically a rookie, but really
she's 29.
But, you know, here's my question. Cause I was talking about this in the draft with a player like Asia Shepherd, who is a little bit older. So a little bit more experienced, just knows a little bit more, right. A little bit more developed in that sense. You know, I think the players here that we have, those three plus a few other rookies, quote unquote rookies. How big is that, just having that experience and being able to come in and, like Rebecca Gardner, understanding how to contribute to a basketball team immediately?
Well, I think it's, you know, you have to look at a player like Shea Petty, who was like in and out of the league like that. And I think it's very familiar, you know, in terms of scenario. And again, just staying ready and not giving up on your dream to play in the WNBA. And when you get that call and you go into camp, you can't go in there and try to get ready. Like, you got to 10 toes down, be ready to go and be in condition, be sharp, be focused. And that's what you're seeing with these older rookies, right? They're rookies because it's their first year in the league, but they are experienced because they have continued to hoop. Like, they're playing somewhere. They're conditioning. If they're not on a team, they're in the gym and they're getting quality work in. And that's why they're ready to play at this level. And that's why they're on the floor in these games. That's why they're at the top of the statistical categories for rookies, because of it. And I think it really does afford them, I don't want to say more hunger, but they're mentally prepared. And they know how easy it is to be out of the league. Yeah. So now you're playing with more of a sense of urgency, but you also have the wisdom behind that. And that's combustible right there to me. I mean, that's a beautiful combination. Mm-hmm. When you're hungry, humble, right? Because you know how fast things can go south, right?
Right.
You're hungry, you're humble, but you also have experience. And you can't teach that. What we said, you know, you can't teach experience. You can't teach winning a championship. You can't teach any of that stuff. But what you can teach is diligence and persistence and being resilient to your purpose. And I think that's what all these older rookies are presenting to us, that, hey, we may be older and we may be rookies, but guess what? We're one of the 144, 138, you know, players in this league for a reason, because we're workhorses and we love the game and we play with passion. And that's what made them stick.
Well, and you know, they know how to play professional basketball, which is different. Like being on a professional basketball team is way different than being on a college basketball team. You're playing more games, the travel's different. Your relationship with your coaches and the people around you is super different.
Different deal.
And I think to a lot of teams, to a lot of rookies, it's hard to kind of fit into that. Now we've seen, obviously we were just talking about Ryan Howard, Nelissa Smith, Shakira Austin, who have come in and that has not been a problem. And I think they just came into really good situations where they're able to adjust to this. And we'll see, you know, what happens with the rookie wall this year. This is another thing that I'm very excited to see, especially with like a player like Rebecca Gardner, is like the rookie wall. A lot of players, like right before the All-Star break and then after the All-Star break, start to kind of hit the fatigue of, wow, this season is a lot faster than my college season. You know, we're playing like three games a week now, right? So it's like, this is a lot more than what you're used to in college. A lot of rookies tail off there. And I'm sure we'll see it again this year. It happens every year for some rookies. Some rookies don't have it, but most rookies do. Most rookies, you know, have a little dip there near the All-Star break. I don't think that's going to happen to Rebecca Gardner. She's played in leagues before. She's played in professional teams before. And I think she's just really ready to contribute to that Chicago team. And that Chicago team is a championship quality team.
They are. They're so tough. And, you know, just watching them, oh boy, the experience level with Vandersloot, with Parker. Oh my goodness, Miesemann, we're going to throw her in there because now she's a vet to championship experience. And, you know, Allie Quigley too. I mean, this team, and we haven't even said Clea Copper.
She's not there.
I know, but we haven't even said, you know, we haven't even factored her in. Okay. Like, I haven't even said. So it's like, yeah, that team was a six seed last year and ended up winning the whole thing because of that moxie and that confidence and that experience when it came down to it in the postseason. So yeah, another quality team with championship experience, obviously, but with that attitude of number one, I hate to say that, but attitude of gratitude, but it is, you're afforded another opportunity to play. And I think Candace Parker even said it, because she, you know, at the beginning of the season, kind of flirting with this maybe being the last season or not. So they understand the moment. They understand why they're playing. They understand that the moments are fleeting and there are only so many more opportunities you have to win it. And I know Stephanie Dolson said that too. I mean, I know she's with New York now, but she said when they played Chicago, she said, hey, I mean, I've been in the league 7-8 years and I hadn't won one yet.
Yeah.
And just because you play doesn't mean you're guaranteed a ring before you leave. Right. And before you retire. So, I mean, I think you're wired as an athlete, like we're winning, like period. And if you don't get that year after year after year, I mean, how hard are you still trying to get one? Right. And I think Stephanie Dolson put that into perspective. So when you actually have that and earn it and win a championship, then you understand, you know, the value of the process. Right. And I think that Chicago team has understood the value of the process. And that's why they won it last year. And that's why they're right at the top again to, you know, possibly win it again. And I know their record doesn't really say that at the moment, but I mean, get Copper in the mix too. And ooh, that's going to be a tough team, you know, right after All-Star break, just like last time after All-Star break, everybody got healthy. And then all of a sudden Chicago started rising up in the ranks and then obviously winning the whole thing. So, I mean, you can't count them out for sure.
No, I think they're a great team. I think they're going to be right. I think it'll be right there. And like, and something changes, I think, when you win a championship. We see this in basketball forever. I mean, you know, that your mentality just changes. There's a different level of, I don't know if it's maturity or if it's that appreciation. You know, and it goes two ways, right? So there's the appreciation side, and I think the maturity aspect. You know, I think we saw that from the Bucks this year. It's like things didn't go their way, and they were still. You know, they still came in level-headed to every press conference.
Yeah.
You know, it was never like, oh, woe is us or poor us. You know, it was like, hey, you know.
Or Middleton is out, you know. It's like,
understanding.
hospital, but they didn't. Yeah.
Understanding how it goes. And I think comes with the season. So like Chicago, obviously last year, understanding they didn't have that start and then they can come back and win the championship. They're like, we're going to let the process play out. And as long as we do our thing, right, it'll work out in the end.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see how this ends up for Chicago, because I really love the lineup that they throw out there sometimes with Sloot, Gardner, and then those three bigs. It's just length and just brilliant basketball. It's just, those three bigs. I love them. I think they're one of the best back front court passing trios we've seen at their size. Like we've seen a backcourt this big and this able to pass with one another.
Candace Parker has eyes in the back of her head too. I mean, just seeing her leadership, going across, they're running off the court. I think, I don't know what game it was watching, and they had just made a big play. I think it was Evans had just made a play or something. Mm-hmm. And they were walking off the floor together to get to the huddle. And Candace Parker was like directing and chopping it up. Like, you see what you can get, like do it all the time, or something very demonstrative with her. And she was like, I got you. Like, it was that kind of vibe. Like, I'm here with you. Like, I'm engaged. I hear you. I'm listening. And for young players to be all ears, that's why you have two, and two ears, one mouth is my rule. It's like, listen to me. And I think, when you listen to players who have done it before, you have to respect when you see that level of communication and nonverbal communication and that level of want to, right? And not have to, like, oh, she's telling me I have to do this. Like, no, listen, she's won it. She's a gold medalist, like, for a reason. Like, there's something to gain from learning at every position. I'm gonna say every day, every single possession, you can learn something by playing with players who have more experience than you, who have won it before. And you share a ring with her, right? So it's like, but still, if I'm on a team with Candace Parker, I'm listening. Like, if I'm Jade, I'm listening to every little thing you're telling me. And I'm going to try my best to get it done. And Coach Wade too, I'm listening to all the coaches, but those players really bring another level of, I don't know, understanding of the game and the nuances, like in the moment on the court. And sometimes coaches can't be there and hold your hand through situations like that. But players who have been in the fire and the brimstone, they understand. And they can tell you on the fly, like, don't go here, go there. Don't go, I hear you, but that's not there this time. Right. And in that moment, make the adjustment that the coach may not have a timeout at the moment, or he may not want to use a timeout to tell you that one little thing. So it's great to have those communicative leaders who understand the moment and understand the game and also understand their role as a leader. And they're leaning into that and really showing and proving, not just for the team, but for the game. Like, this is how you lead. This is how you lead. And this is how you listen. And I think that's most respectable and so impressive about this Chicago team.
Well, and you look at Dana Evans, and whatever advice she's getting, she should continue to follow it, because she was awesome in early in the season. Obviously opportunity waxes and wanes in this league, you get it and then it goes away and then it'll come back, and she's ready for it though. I think that's another really deep team. I did want to talk about the other side of the coin though, talking about a team like Chicago who's ready, who has been there, who has tasted it and wants it back, to a team that is extremely hungry to get there. The Connecticut Sun, they lost their first game against New York and they blew out Los Angeles and then blew out New York in the rematch.
Yeah.
They're the only team in the league to hold multiple teams to 65 points or less so far this season. And obviously their calling card's always going to be defense, and it's back again.
Yeah.
They are fully back. Courtney Williams is back in the fold. So, right. Where are you on the Sun? What are your thoughts?
First of all, I mean, when you take home all the hardware from last year, mm-hmm. except for the championship trophy, when you take home Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, Most Improved, right? Breonna Jones got Most Improved, Jonquel Jones MVP, and then Kurt Miller Coach of the Year. Man, that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow when you get all that and you don't get the ship. Ah, ha, ha. when I said ship with a P, because yes. It may have sounded funny. It sounded funny. Okay.
It sounded right. It sounded right.
Make sure. Because sometimes my mom watches it. But no, I just think that this is the team that's prime and ready to win one. Without Alyssa Thomas last year, I think that hurt them, you know, with Jonquel even being back, you know, she didn't play in the bubble, but it's just, I don't know, that battle of being healthy, and it sounds so cliche, but that's been the issue for this team, is just to have everybody in tow. And I think at some point in the season, early on, maybe the first two games, I think Alyssa Thomas was averaging like 24 a game to lead the league. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's playing some of her best basketball. And they just need everybody to come together at one point and just be healthy and go for it. And I think with Courtney Williams being back, I mean, to me, that's the piece that was missing last year. I mean, obviously they're missing Alyssa Thomas for a chunk of the season as well, a large percentage of the season. But I just think they missed like that perimeter scorer, that perimeter rebounder, you know, and nobody really talks about the rebounding prowess of Courtney Williams from the guard spot. She flies in there. She gets 7 or 8 rebounds. I know that's not her average, but sometimes in some games, she has gotten as many as 8, 9 rebounds from the guard spot. So, I mean, this is a player who brings that extra level of energy defensively too. But I think, you know, her rebounding ability, especially on the offensive glass, that's what I keep seeing when I'm thinking of her, is her offensive rebounding ability and, you know, get a fresh shot clock to 14. And then, you know, now you can like, you know, work and move again. I just think that may have been the missing piece last year. Even if Thomas was hurt, I think if they had Courtney Williams with the players they had last year playing the way that they did, Breonna Jones stepping up, most improved. I think they would have had a better chance of winning.
Oh yeah,
with her on the floor.
Yeah, no, I think that was exactly. I think you're right. Exactly what they're missing was just a person to get a bucket, just a person to get a bucket and
go get a bucket.
And now she's there. She's only been there for one game, but it's like it just all fit, you know. It's like it didn't, the rotations worked. It wasn't like there was a situation where you have to incorporate this new brand new person in. No, she was there before, and most of the team was together. The only really new piece that's getting a lot of minutes is Dejanay Carrington, and Carrington has been really solid so far. So it's like this team knows what they're doing. And we've talked about this plenty. It's just like, they just know exactly what they're doing. And I think Alyssa Thomas as the head of the spear is huge for them. It's huge for them because she can get downhill. She can cause turnovers. They cause, and I do want to talk about New York real quick. They cause 32 turnovers against New York Liberty.
Wow.
19 in the first half.
Whoa, I was not aware. Sandy Brondello, are you okay? Because I mean, turnovers, I mean, wins and losses, they, you know, you still operate and, you know, what can we do better? I don't care if you win or lose, but when you lose and you have 32 turnovers, I'm sure she did not sleep well that night, man. 19 in the first half, what?
I didn't sleep well. I was so upset. I'm glad you didn't watch this game live, because like we have the same complaint always about turnovers. It just drives me insane. Because like, okay, Connecticut did do a good job. They did a great job pressuring the ball, did a great job pouncing on it when they saw it. But oh my God, it was just, they were throwing the ball all over the yard. They didn't care. I haven't seen a team care so little about the basketball in a game. Oh, man.
That's a pet peeve.
I was screaming, maybe I'll ask Emily to be on here, but like I was like screaming at the TV. I was so mad. I had to turn off. I was just like, I don't care. Like Atlanta, Indiana was like a 15-point game at that point. I was like, I have to watch it because I can't watch a single second of this again, because it was just such a lack of care for the basketball. And New York is having a rough start, very rough start. But you gotta give Connecticut credit because they were all over. It was like,
what do you attribute the lack of or the carelessness of New York? What is it about?
I don't know. I'm sure they're asking themselves the same question, because it's like they have good players. I don't know. I mean, like, I think they just hadn't dealt with that level of pressure yet. And that level of pressure from Connecticut's a lot. It's a lot. You can't make a little mistake. A little mistake turns into 2 points the other way.
Yeah.
So it's like, and New York is a team that makes a lot of little mistakes. This is always something I say. It's from The Replacements, my favorite movie. It's the quicksand theory. It's like, yeah, you make a little mistake and they score, and then you make another little mistake, and then you make another little mistake, and then another one, and then suddenly you're down by 20 points with 19 turnovers. You have as many points as you have. They had, at one point, they had as many turnovers as they had points.
Oh boy.
I was livid. I was so mad. And like, this is not a team that, you know, this isn't the Heat, right? Like, I like New York. I hope they succeed because I like the players on the team. This isn't like a team I root for. This is just like, I was mad. I was mad for Sandy Brondello.
Yeah, that's my first thought.
There will be better days ahead for New York. I don't think they're going to be that bad, but it is tough because when you're playing Connecticut, right, it's the length, it's the pressure, it's the ability to convert that into points. That kills you. And I think it just gets to a point where it's like, it's almost demoralizing to play against them. Or I don't know if it's demoralizing or if it speeds you up, right, when you're turning the ball over like that. Because then you're like, we really have to get a point on this possession to stop this run, and you turn it over again, and it's like it keeps coming back.
Yeah,
that's what I felt like in that game, you know. So and shouts to Connecticut. I didn't want to go on too big of a rant about New York. I was just like,
no, that's funny. And I know it's tough. I mean, that's a pet peeve for all coaches. I think, you know, with even the loss that the Mystics had against Dallas, they turned it over 21 times, and the Mystics were first in the league in terms of taking care of the ball with just 11 turnovers. So it's a big factor when those are live ball turnovers, and you know, they push the other way for bucket. So, but that's just in a load of turnovers that, you know, you just don't want to see continue. And I know as a coach, it's like, I mean, we can't run anything because we're not taking care of the ball. So it's like you're hand tying me because I'm trying to stand over here and figure out what we need to run, but we can't get into anything because we're coughing the ball up or kicking it out of bounds, or, you know, we're having so many empty possessions that you can't get over the hump. And it does. I mean, it does give you a sense of, you know, we got to hurry up and make one. We got to press, and here, I'm going to force this pass because we really need a bucket right now. And then they're off to the races again. So, yeah. I mean, I think they did a good job of speeding them up in that regard and turning them over like that. So I was not aware it was 32 of them, though. Golly.
Oh, I turned it off after 19. I think I turned it off at 17. I was just like, I'm done. I can't. I need to go before. I went for a walk in my backyard because I was like, I need to calm down. I was freaking out too much. Okay, let's get over to potentially the main discussion that a lot of people are having this week in the WNBA. There's a skirmish, a scuffle, a kerfuffle.
Skerfuffle.
Okay, we could combine skerfuffle.
Skerfuffle. There it is. Hashtag that.
There was an argument between Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith on the bench as the Phoenix Mercury. They were giving up a second quarter lead. There was like I think the Aces were going on a big run, and the Mercury were upset about it. And then there's the now famous picture of Skylar Diggins-Smith, like extremely upset. What's your reaction there?
I mean, you'd love to see the fire and the passion in players. And if you look at the Phoenix roster and you think fire and passion, Diana Taurasi, the fire and passion, but then Skylar Diggins-Smith, the passion and the fire. Yeah. I mean, they're two of the same kinds of people in terms of how they're built, in terms of how they compete. And maybe they didn't agree with something or whatever happened there to cause that moment. But you're looking at Phoenix. And I think for me, you see that in the moment. I've never had that happen, you know, as a player or a coach, like on the bench. I've never had that happen. So I can't really speak to that specific experience, but I've seen it happen, obviously, with Miami. And they turned right back around. I had some great third quarters after that. But for me, I think with this Phoenix Mercury team, they're playing with a lot of emotion. Because of Brittany Griner's situation also. And not that that's an excuse, not like, oh, you're excusing it. I'm not. I'm factoring in the level of emotion that team is playing with in particular. And all teams have their own emotion and their own, you know, plight, if you will. They're all fighting for a win. But when it comes to moments like that, you know, maybe there are some moments that, you know, they're not playing or practicing and they're with their families and, you know, they're really tucking away a lot of those emotions, yeah, of frustration, not being able to do anything, lack of control, because they want their sister back, yeah, you know, they want their sister back home. So I think, you know, yes, you love to see that heart and compassion and fight fire and all that. But at the same time, you know, you peel back some layers and you understand really where that may have been coming from too. And it's not an excuse. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes you hold things back and compartmentalize to a certain point. Yeah. And then sometimes you get pushed to the edge and it's like, hey man, we got to set a harder screen. You set a harder screen. And then it becomes like bigger than what's actually being discussed. And I don't even know if that was what it was, right, but it could be something that minute of a detail, right? And you're talking about the little things and they do add up. I get it. But at the same time, I think it was more than whatever they were discussing.
Yeah.
In that moment, I think it was more than what they were talking about that caused that outburst.
I think definitely you're right. The backdrop of what's happened in this season for them. I mean, obviously Brittany Griner's situation is just something that, yeah, upsets everyone. Especially, yeah, if you're someone that's, you know, there and you want her to be there and she's your friend, you, yeah, know? Yeah, I think it is upsetting. And I think it's constantly going to be an upsetting force. And then there's just a ton of change on this team. You know, you're looking around and the bench, you know, it's a different team. It's a different coach. It's different everything. I think that backdrop really does ratchet up the potential for a conflict, right? Like when you have people who are hot by nature, I'm one of those people. I get mad, right? Like I get mad. So I understand I'm hot by nature, and I understand that when, you know, there's things going on in my life I get mad about stuff that has nothing to do with it. Right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I think that's basically what it boils down to. It's, yeah, being competitive, being in a situation where you feel unstable and insecure about other things in life. And I think it's also just like, hey, sometimes that stuff needs to happen because there's no, you know, I know for the Heat, for example, obviously now famous clip of Eric Spoelstra, yeah, literally asking his best player, do you want me to fight you on the bench? And then Udonis Haslem yelling at the best player on the team, Jimmy Butler, I will fight you. Yeah. And then them throwing stuff at each other. And it's just like, but look, that needed to happen. Because, and we don't know exactly what was happening in that locker room, but it was reported that the just like communication had broken down to a point where it's like, well, we needed a brush fire to kind of clear the area so we could actually talk to each other.
Right.
And when that happens, I think it does become easier to say the things that you're not, you don't want to say, right? Cause you want to keep the peace, right, or whatever. So I think it's,
yeah,
it's not a good thing. You'd rather that happen behind closed doors and stay there. Sure. But I just think it's something that does happen. And hopefully that opens up, you know, whatever thing they need to talk about. Cause I think that's just, yeah, what it is. Like sometimes it just comes out as aggression. Now, one thing I do want to mention here though, there was some like subtweeting by Skylar Diggins-Smith. And that's the part that gets to me. It's like, if you're like retweeting stuff of like, oh, you know, like essentially like you got to watch the way people treat you. Cause you know, you don't want to let them treat you in a bad way. Yeah. It was like some tweet like that.
Wait, what did she say? Spill the tea. Cause I didn't see the tweet.
So. I saw the tweet very briefly. And it was just, she retweeted someone saying like, oh, you gotta make sure you have to protect your mental with people treating you in some way. I don't have it. Someone has it, I'm sure. I don't have like the full tweet, but it was a subtweet. It was a clear subtweet about the situation. And that's like the thing that kind of gets me of like, keep it there. You know, like,
yeah.
Hey, we can yell at each other.
I hear you, but I mean, Diana doesn't really tweet. So
yeah, no.
But she doesn't tweet at all. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, you know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, they're both active on Twitter. We know Skylar is, but it's not like they're both active on Twitter and Diana just chose not to say anything.
No.
It's like, that's Skylar's little, you know, out there. And I hear you, and I'm not disputing what you're saying. And yes, leave it there. I get it. But at the same time, you know, let's hold everybody to that, because I don't think everybody holds each other to that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so, which is why we love Twitter. So, and our names are under. Anyway, but yeah, I know it was an emotional moment, you know. And when I say that, just don't say because they're women, you know, because Jimmy Butler's moment was emotional too. So, period to that. That was emotional, but it's you know, it's part of the game, and I think that's what was said after the game. That was the message from the Phoenix Mercury, you know, coaching staff, administration, and all of that. They said, you know, it's the heat of the moment, and it happens sometimes, and you know, it's hard. But I know it was hard for Skylar not to push send on that sub.
No, it was a retweet. It was just a retweet.
I'm glad she sent it. We don't need her having an ulcer or something holding things in. Like, if that's how she felt, like, let her say it. I mean, and they still have to go to practice the next day. Yeah. And I think, you know, it would be fun to just go and look and see what their practices look like now, or the next game, what that dynamic has turned into, because I think they have the utmost respect for each other. I mean, they won a gold medal together. Yeah. Like, these are teammates, obviously, in Phoenix together. So I don't think there's a lack of respect.
No.
And I think they both understand that they're both fiery competitors. So I think, just like what happened with the Heat, I think, you know, they put it aside and, you know, they're going to put together some good third quarters. It's like the Heat have.
I think it's either nothing or it's a good thing. That would be my take on the situation. It's either nothing or it's a good thing, right? Like,
I like that. I don't think it could be a bad thing, but sometimes with, you know, sometimes.
It's worse if you swallow it, though. You know, if someone says something to you and you're like, all right, whatever, and you just sit there.
No,
I'd rather you yell at me, like, yeah, yell in my face, and we can yell, and then it's squash right there, and then we can move on.
And right.
I think that's the way. You know, I don't know who's the coach, except I think that is the way that Diane Taurasi and Scott Smith operate. Is like, you know, with these are very proud people.
Yeah.
So they're gonna stand up for themselves. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I know we spent like 10 minutes talking about it. I just don't think
I don't think so either. And I think, you know, you have to speak your mind. And I think it was, you know, a situation where it could have been something else too. So
No, I think there's a lot there. And I do. It's a weird situation. I mean, weird and sad and tough in Phoenix. And I think they're working all through it. That being said, they are 2-2 after playing Las Vegas and Seattle, two of the teams we think are going to be in the championship mix this year. So things are going to get easier schedule wise as they don't play two of the best teams in the league. Although they did play Seattle without Breanna Stewart. So
because of the COVID.
Right.
Or health and safety protocols.
Health and safety protocols. Oh, did you hear this thing about Al Horford that this is today, but the Celtics are like trying to get him a million tests today, so to see if he can play in the game tonight.
Yeah, he has to have two negative tests. That was the same thing for, you know, the same rule in the WNBA.
I don't know how that works. They need to be 24 hours apart. Whatever. Go Heat. whatever. Hey, they can bring out whoever they want. They can bring out Larry Bird. Bring out Kevin McHale. I don't care. Bring them out. Play whoever you want.
Like you said, Kevin McHale ain't walking through the door.
If Kevin McHale ain't walking through that door, Bill Russell ain't walking through that door. Bring him. Whoever wants to play on the Celtics. Bring back Paul Pierce. Let's see it. Love to play him.
Oh my God. KG ain't walking through the door either. I hear you.
I'm hyped up. It's game two.
I love it.
Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals this night. Heat at home, so I'm excited for that one. So a couple other news things. We got to it. Pretty much all of the players that were in Europe are now back. Elizabeth Williams coming back, Clay Copper's coming back, Tiffany Hayes coming back. I think they're all done with their playing obligations. It's just you know, when the teams want to bring them back when they have games. So that should normalize out this week. I would imagine there's going to be like a week of like adjustment period of like, oh, we don't want her to play or do whatever. So I think by next week we'll be totally fine. The other news that dropped here before we got on the podcast, Jocelyn Willoughby of the New York Liberty out 6 weeks. She has a quad tear, which is really tough.
Oh boy, that's a rough tear. And she was playing well too for them.
Yeah, I wrote about her. I just thought she was such a good defender, and you know, after the year, the 2 years of injury, like she looked really, really strong. So just wanted to give a shout out to her and then say prayers up to her, because you know, we want to see her back on the court. So it's 6 weeks. So she'll be back mid-June.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably all-star.
Late June. Yeah, all-star.
Yeah, around that time. Oh yeah. Man. Oh, that's a blow to them. And they need her, you know, to get back over the hump over there. 1-4. Oof. Yeah.
So that's all the news. Also, though, I want to tell you guys, you can still donate to Debbie Antonelli's 24 Hours of Nothing But Net campaign. They are like $7,000 short of their goal, and I think we can get them there pretty quick. I donated earlier today, so if you got a second, go and donate. It's for the Special Olympics. Great cause. Debbie's obviously a friend of the program, friend of her hoop stats. So.
Absolutely. And her son, Frankie, graduated from Clemson Life. Oh my gosh, Frankie, I love his journey. And who was standing right there with him with his cap on? Debbie Antonelli. Oh my God, I love her so much. So Debbie, hope you're listening, and definitely going to shout out to your Shoot Your Arm Falls Off campaign, because that's her whole
thing. I don't know how she does it. Your arm falls off.
I love it.
I don't know how Debbie does most of like the thing. She all of the things she does. I don't know. I don't know how you do all the things you do either. Like, to be honest.
Well, no, that's her. She's you know, I'm way behind her with what she does with her time of day and all the great things. But you know, first and foremost, just the mom that she is. You know, I just love how she advocates for her kids, especially Frankie, and to see him with that hat on and just. Oh, it just took me. I mean, he's a cutie pie, but just knowing, you know, his journey and knowing that she's been in lockstep with him is special. Very sweet. Every day is Mother's Day, by the way.
It
and
is.
Moments like that, especially when you see moments like that. So really fun, really beautiful.
All right. And if you want to donate, I'm going to put the link in the doobly doo, the description. There we go. That's what it's called.
Absolutely.
And that's all I got. We have anything else you want to mention?
Oh man, no. It's just that, you know, the Mystics are back home for the DMVers. They're back home on Sunday at 3 against Chicago. Emma Meesman makes her return along with Candace Parker and Allie Quigley and Courtney Vandersloot, Vander Quigs. So it should be a fun game. You know, Elizabeth Williams may play in that game. We don't know yet. Just speculative at this point, but that'll be a great game. And if you can't get down to SA, it's on ABC at 3:00. So make sure you guys check that out. But I guess that's it for us on Courtside with Christy and Gabe for this episode. We don't have to go home, but we got to get up out of here. But we will be courtside with you next time right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. For Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter Scott. We'll see you next time.
Peace.